If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to take a look at an unusual passage, an unlikely passage perhaps for a Sunday morning service, but appropriate for our current season. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. And let me just read it for you, and then we'll give some commentary on that and some application for our current lives. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. But if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Well, that's the word of the Lord for today. And an interesting passage, a little bit confusing, I think, on some levels. And so I want to talk about it. I was praying and asking God, what do you want to say to Living Hope Family Church today? And this was the passage. He just gave it to me, and this is what I want to talk about, he said. All right, okay, let's go there. So I'm going to take you through the verses just one by one, and we'll take a look at some of the obvious things and maybe not so obvious things about it. And then I'm going to talk about how we might apply this in a context that's appropriate for us today. So to the beginning, Jesus was casting out a demon. Now, you need to understand that there's a very real demon that was inhabiting a very real man, and a very real Jesus came to cast out that very real demon. And when he did, a miracle took place, a very real miracle, obvious miracle to all. The mute man spoke. And that's a little tough for us in our 21st century mindset to wrap our brains around. Sounds a lot like a bygone era, and maybe the less scientific, primitive world of the first century A.D. But I'd like to caution you before you dismiss these things. I'd like to caution you before you put your faith and your trust in our infallible science, that as it turns out, throughout the centuries and even today, there are supernatural occurrences, supernatural things, supernatural powers and authorities that are unexplained by our logical scientific approach. Yep, I've just crossed the line into crazy, haven't I? There are things that God is doing in a realm your eyes cannot see, but it is just as real as the things you can see. And the Bible actually challenges us to believe this. I was reading a book by a very popular current philosopher and he's a very influential academic and intellectual. And he is supposedly a Christian, and he was explaining that the Bible was written by everybody and nobody as the collective imagination of an evolving mankind over thousands of years. And it is full of the wisdom and the praxis of generations that have experimented and evolved in their thought, and it should not be dismissed by us in our modern scientific era, in our very forward-thinking, philosophically empowered era. It should not be dismissed by us as being irrelevant, because it represents the thinking of many, many, many generations, all collectively put together, and that's valuable for humankind. This is a very intellectual and very influential man, but he's 100% wrong on who wrote the Bible, because the Bible itself attests that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave utterance to men. And the people who wrote this often did not know what they were writing, as they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And some of them collected information as it had been handed down to them, Luke collecting stories that had been written by some and transferred from word of mouth. And he collected them together so that he could put together an historical account of the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. And it is inspired by the Holy Spirit that he should remember this story and include it. It's included in the other Gospels as well, but Luke tells us a few things that others don't. But I want you to know that the Bible is not to be dismissed as some sort of incomplete view that's been superseded by our new era. The Bible itself teaches that it's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he's the Word of God made flesh, that he is the Word of God, and the Word of God represents him, and that the principles that are demonstrated by him in passages like this hold true even today. What am I saying? Well, I'm saying that there's a demonic realm around us, as there is an angelic realm around us, same realm that we cannot see, in which there is a war. There's a war over the souls of men. And the Bible teaches us this. And if you don't accept it, it doesn't change the fact that it's happening. In this season of our development as a human race, it seems that those who actually believe what the Bible says are considered to be just like children, just not developed enough. And Jesus says in one of his prayers, "Father, I'm so grateful that you have withheld the understanding from the intellectuals, and you've given it to the children. You've withheld it from those who consider themselves wise and given it to those who are willing to trust you and to believe you." I want to challenge you, church, to accept what God says, because God said it. There's going to be a fundamental shift in the way you think about life if you do that. There's a strong man in our society. He's strong, and he is covered by his armor, and he is protected by his bastions. He is well equipped with weapons, and he considers himself very, very safe. But there is a stronger one who has come to undo his pride and his confidence. Those of us who put our faith and our trust in the knowledge of the modern era, or the current era, perhaps modern is just the wrong word to use, but the current era, those of us who put our trust in this newfound knowledge and the wonderful advancements, beware, my friends, beware, you stand on shifting sands. On shifting sands. Demonic activity has long been dismissed in the mind of an educated people. But demons still inhabit many of the people around you. Maybe not here in this room, but our world's full of it. In this case, the demon was mute. And the man was mute because the mute demon was in him. Now imagine that somebody here in 2020 walked up to somebody who couldn't speak and began to rebuke the devil. What do you think would happen? It was perhaps a lot more acceptable in that day to rebuke the devil than it is today. But if a devil could make somebody mute 2,000 years ago, then the devil can still make somebody mute today. And there's a lot of us who've been made mute by the devil. There are a lot of things we ought to be saying and we're not saying them, and the devil's got our tongue. Maybe exorcism looks a little different in our current generation than what it did in Jesus' day. I don't know. But I do know this, that the Word of God has come to set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus is the Word made flesh, amen. And we know Him through the written Word, we know Him through the spoken Word, we know Him in the very present Word, and the Word of God can set a man free. Which is why we need the Word of God to come into our lives and set us free. But if we're not able to believe it, if we're not able to trust it, if we're not able to actually accept it, because it just is beneath our intelligence, then just stay under the power of your strong man and remain mute. But I know that there are people in this room and there are people listening online who want to have their tongue set free. Remember in the day of Pentecost, what the Holy Spirit did for those people who were waiting for the Lord. He was poured out upon them, and it was a mighty rushing wind, and it seemed like tongues of fire lighted on everybody's shoulders. And what did they do? They began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Is it not evidence of the Holy Spirit that the mute tongues are loosed? You say, what mute tongues? Those people could speak. Yeah, but they couldn't speak the language of heaven. Can you speak the language of heaven? Perhaps the devil's got your tongue. How about the Holy Spirit come and sweep the house clean and fill us with His presence and loose our tongues that we may speak the language of heaven, that we may be bold and speak the language of heaven. Now listen, when you begin to speak the language of heaven, when you begin to speak because you believe, because you trust that God's word is sure and true, when you begin to speak like that, people will call you crazy. People will say that you've drunk too deep of the communion cup. People will say that you are perhaps under the influence. And I'd like to suggest that you are. But you're under the influence of a spirit, the eternal spirit, who spoke the universe into existence. I want to tell you that there's a supernatural power that God has promised that He would make available to His people. A supernatural power that sets us free like no psychological analysis can ever do. There's a supernatural power that can heal broken hearts, that can heal broken bodies. There's a supernatural power that can release us and set us free from addictions. There's a supernatural power that can set us free from fear and anxiety. There's a supernatural power that can set us free from greed and wickedness. There's a supernatural power. His name is Jesus. I don't want you to speak until the devil's gone. Because if you speak and your heart's full of the devil, it would have been better if you'd kept your mouth shut. What am I saying to you? Well, I'm saying you need to fill your heart with the things of God. Jesus says in verse 23, whoever is not for me, whoever is not with me, he says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no middle ground in this particular war. The spiritual war that's being waged doesn't have a neutral zone. There's no Switzerland in the spirit. You're either with him or you're against him. That's what he says. Jesus makes that very clear. And if the word of God is in fact true, which I believe it is, and that's why I stand in this pulpit and preach, because I believe this is true. I'm not just some peddler peddling some old ideas trying to make you give your tithe money. I'm actually here because I believe that God wants to set you free and empower you to overcome in this world and to carry the glory of God into the midst of this dark and perverse world and bring about transformation and see people rescued out of darkness into light. I preach because I want you to be equipped for the work of ministry. I preach because I believe that in the speaking of God's word with faith, something can happen inside of your heart and you can be transformed and you can actually be set ablaze. I speak because I believe that God wants to restore the joy in your hearts. God wants to give you purpose. I speak because I'm confident that God's got a directive for you. I speak because I'm convinced that you're not walking in it yet. And if you are, you can walk in it more fully. I speak because I believe. And I want to encourage you that there is a decision you have to make, and the decision is, who am I going to side with? Am I siding with the Lord of glory, or am I siding with the Prince of Darkness? Because there's no middle ground. And if you're not with Jesus, you're actually fighting for the devil. It's harsh. It's real harsh, but you need to hear it. You need to hear it because it can set you free today. It may be that you're trying to find your voice. The reason why you don't have a voice and why you have nothing to say is because the devil's got your tongue. And he will stop you from speaking life. But God has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the gospel. You've heard that there's a divided kingdom. That's pretty obviously manifested for us as a sermon illustration in our own political world. And everybody's confused and everybody's upset because the division is so stark. A divided kingdom can't stand. Jesus said it. It's true. But forgetting politics for a moment, I just need you to think about where your heart is at. Because if part of you wants to love Jesus and follow him, and yet part of you is still desiring to be acceptable in the world around you, then you are a divided kingdom. And it's not going to work. So it would be better for you to stop pretending and playing games. In the letters to the churches, we read in the book of Revelation that Jesus says to the Laodicean church, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Now, I'm not quite sure whether it's good exegesis to read the hot as being ablaze for Jesus and the cold as being cold to the Lord and not interested in him. It's probably not correct. But since it's been the interpretation for a long, long time, we'll just use it for whatever it's worth right now to say that Jesus is not impressed by a half-hearted attempt. It would be better for you to say, I'm not following you, Jesus, and be true to that, than it would be for you to say, I'm following you, Jesus, but they're not following. Here's what the devil does with that. If we play games with the Lord and we're not committed, the devil who gets cast out, because the Holy Spirit does that amazing work, the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit is just, it's undeniable and it's unstoppable, and the devil can't stay. When Jesus comes into your heart, when the Holy Spirit comes in there, the devil just can't stay. But if we don't keep our hearts with Jesus at front and center, if we don't make our hearts his home, if we have this ambivalence and we're between two worlds and we're not with him but we're actually against him, then what happens is that space is swept clean but it's empty. And the devil goes out and gathers for himself seven times more that are worse than him and comes and takes up that habitation. And the end of that story is that you're worse off having believed and fallen away than you would have been if you just hadn't believed at all. What is that supposed to say? Well, I tell you what it's supposed to encourage you to do. Believe with your whole heart, for heaven's sake. Believe with your whole heart. That's what you're supposed to do. I want you to know that the finger of God, just the finger of God, is more than capable of driving away every demon that's held you captive. Just the finger of God. If God were to show up in all of his glory, the mountains would melt like wax. God just has to show his finger and you'll be set free. Some of you are listening online, and you've been wrestling with freedom for years, and you're not free. And I'll tell you why you're not free. Because you're a divided kingdom. Come on over to the Lord's side. Make it a permanent thing. Give your heart wholeheartedly to Jesus, and let the Holy Spirit take up residence inside your heart. Stop playing around between this and that. One day here and another day there. No. Fix your heart to Jesus, and God will set you free.